Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quinton Henning. He's here today to give us an update on SK Mining. It's a very exciting story, one that I own personally. It is one of my favorite picks in my newsletter. It trades in Toronto under the symbol ESK, ESKYF in the U.S., 163 million shares at $1.74 earlier today in U.S. money, that is. You can see that it's a company that has some recognition, but I think not nearly as much as it's going to get if it's as exciting and as good as it seems to be to me. So let's hear from Quinton. Thanks for joining us again, Quinton.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
Always good to have you, that's for sure. You're certainly, I'd have to check, you have to be one of the most frequent guests on our show because you've done so much work with some of these most exciting companies, and it's really great to have you. But today we'd like to get an update on what's going on with SK. You have a very aggressive drill program going on there, I think something like 13,500 meters on that project up there in British Columbia. Give us an update. How is the drilling program going, and what have you learned this year so far from what you're seeing? And I don't believe we've gotten any drill results yet, or that is assays, but you can tell an awful lot by the drill core. So what can you tell us at this stage?
Certainly. Look, the 13,500 meters that you mentioned a minute ago, that's actually where we currently stand. In fact, given the news release came out almost four years ago, now it's probably closer to 14,000 meters. But that's out of a program that's targeting a minimum of 30,000 meters. I think we'll easily meet the 30,000 meters. In fact, I think we'll probably be able to drill more than that. Last year, if you look, we were able to drill into, I believe, around the third week in October. At the current rate, with four drills operating, we should be able to get that 30,000-meter minimum. And I'm hoping it might be closer to, say, 34 or 35 with a little luck. And the reason this is so important is the drilling this year is really focused on a couple of objectives. One is to step out from the known mineralization that was encountered last year at the TV and the Jeff targets, which are kind of in the center, we'll call it the center of the property, but also test new targets, right? So we're trying to tackle the bigger property as a whole too. And part of what's driven the new target concepts is data that's come back, both our SkyTEM and then earlier this year our stream sediment analyses, the Blegg analyses for gold. And, what's really exciting is, firstly, at TB and Jeff, most of the holes we have seen visible indications of mineralization, very similar to what was seen last year. All right, so in both cases, both TB and Jeff, it looks like those systems will expand as they step out around those. It looks like we can now see which directions they remain open, which is where we can continue to pursue those. We're in some cases seeing indications things get better in certain directions. So, stay tuned on that front. That's very exciting development. The mineralization, this is a vulcanogenic massive sulfide system, so we're able to see the stockwork and replacement sulfides in these holes. But we've also seen some massive sulfides too, which is quite intriguing because the massive sulfide mineralization would indicate we do have bona fide exhalative, like, black smoker type mineralization in some of these sequences, particularly at the TV area. All right, that's very exciting. And then we've seen in some holes visible, I'll call it precious metal minerals. Okay, these would include electrum, which is a natural gold-silver alloy, as well as perargyrite, which is a silver sulfur salt, and then tetrahedrite, another silver sulfur salt. So we see very good evidence of mineralization in these holes, akin to what we saw last year. Now, the crew who's doing the groundwork, this is the crew that's out, they're doing both soil sampling but also reconnaissance work, getting out and observing outcrops and stuff. They they've been tackling areas up section. Like, if you can imagine TV and Jeff, they sit on the west side of a north-south trending ridge. And the rocks that we're targeting dip to the east. They dip into the ridge. All right, so as you go up the hill, you're actually getting higher and higher into the stratigraphy. You're getting up into successions that are somewhat younger. And in theory, we should be getting very close to the sea floor, the sea floor. Now, that's the this is the $64,000 question for this property is, can we find another Eskay Creek type deposit? You know, everybody that remembers Eskay Creek. It was a mine in the, let's see, about the mid-1990s, I believe, up to around the GFC is when they closed down. It was one of the highest grade deposits on Earth. In fact, I think it was the highest grade deposit on Earth for many years. And why it was, it was just an exceptionally precious metal-rich BMS. It was a layered deposit. You know, it was a sheet of plastic sulfides that was deposited as a layer within the sequence, and it was right at the paleo sea floor. So why are we excited? Well, we're seeing sulfides up above the TV prospect in particular. We're seeing mudstones with sulfides. We're seeing sulfides in the rhyolite unit, which is up there, which is very similar to the rhyolite that's seen right below the Eskay Creek deposit. So we're very, very intrigued with what's going on. I think TV and Jeff are just the warm-up act, is my hope, that as we, you know, work the geology out and get a better handle on exactly where things are as we step up the hill, I think we might find something very special there.
So. Yeah. Well, last year I remember you saying it's possible that Jeff and TV could actually be one unit. Is there any further evidence of that, or?
Yes, look, they have seen sulfide in and around the TV and Jeff areas, and, you know, just extrapolating where they're seeing the sulfide, I think there's still likely validity to that that argument, is that the systems are connected. They are also now seeing stratigraphic correlation between the two. So, for example, the TV, the bulk of the TV mineralizing system is indeed hosted by the same layers, the same sequence of rocks that the upper Jeff horizon is hosted by. So you see that continuity too. Now, drilling will have to be done between the two, obviously, to prove it out. Yeah. But one of the short-term objectives we have, they are doing soils, collecting soil data across broad areas, including that intervening two-kilometer area between the two targets. So that'll probably give us an indication. They're also extending that north and south from Jeff and TV.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and if you step back and look at the SkyTEM, it's clear as a bell now that, you know, TV and Jeff fall on the east flank of the Eskay Anticline. But it's clear as a bell. You can see that east flank goes straight down to C10, the C10 area, which is where we have a new target, you know, basically a new target that's going to be tested this year. So I think the whole east flank of the Eskay Anticline is wide open.
Wow. Well, you did have some pretty interesting and pretty robust intersections last year. I meant to review that before we went online, but I don't know if you could give our listeners just an idea of what sort of grades you were getting last year.
Look, I believe the biggest, you know, headline interval that we had. Look, we only managed to drill 20 holes last year, so kind of an abbreviated program. But we hit a home run. We hit something like I think it was 35.5 meters of a little over. It was around 10 or 11 gram gold equivalent. You know, gold with a silver component. But it was a phenomenal drill intercept. It was, you know, getting close to 400 gram meter hole, and that's. You know, you don't see holes like that every day.
I'm seeing a headline here: 35.5 meters of 9.5 grams gold, and I think it's 70 grams silver. So
there you go.
Not bad. Well, I want to ask you also. You know, the Sib and Lulu. I think you only had 80% of that. Now you have 100%. Are you doing anything up there with that this year?
Well, it turns out actually quarry, the quarry property, which is that includes, or sorry, the SIB property,
yeah,
which includes TV and Jeff, was part of that joint venture that we've extricated ourselves from. So we now have 100% over the whole enchilada.
Yeah.
Look at SIB Lulu. This is going to sound crazy, okay, but we actually see better targets now elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we've debated this internally, and I think we've come to the conclusion that this year we're going to be better served by doing what I said earlier, expanding TV and Jeff, but also testing some of these new targets that we can see via the SkyTEM and the Blegg data. Mm-hmm. I think Sibululu, while it's quite interesting, it does have some holes in it. And, they're good holes, but guess what? We have some anomalies that look much bigger.
Uh-huh.
And might be even more important to us.
Yeah. You got something called the C10, which is mentioned in the press release. That must be one that looks especially good to you.
The C10 area is particularly intriguing.
And in the south. It's towards the southern end.
It is. It's down to the south. And like I said, it's right on strike on the east flank of the SK Anticline. It's right on strike with TV Jeff. So I think there's geologic continuity clear down there. But, there's two reasons we're very excited about that area. Firstly, the Blegg data, this is the stream sediment data that we have from there, shows a very long, about a 6 kilometer long, very high grade highly elevated gold anomaly, mm-hmm, in multiple drainages. Okay, so there's something bleeding out of the ground through that area. So that's one thing that gets us stoked. The other thing that gets us stoked is there are historic surface samples down in there, that area, that some are grading in the ounce plus per ton range.
Oh boy!
It's historic data, so we don't have everything.
Yeah.
It sounds like it is VMS related. There, mm-hmm, was at least one drill hole down there that hit, I believe, over 100 gram per ton in sulfide mineralization. And John DeDecker, the exploration VP, managed to find a piece of that historic core. And everybody agrees that is VMS. So, I think the C10 area is basically, I think of it as an expansion of the TV Jeff story.
Well, that is exciting, because if I'm looking at it correctly, it must be C10 might be around 8 or 10 meters, kilometers south of TV.
That's right. That's correct.
Wow.
It's a big system. Now, look, we've got that target in the north, too. We call it the AP target. It's way up in the northeast, screaming Blegg anomaly, and it's associated with a very discrete SkyTEM anomaly, which we think, again, is telling us that there's a VMS system up there. We've got two new anomalies. If you look at this most recent news release, there's two anomalies in the western anticline on the east flank of that anticline,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that they have no surface samples, they have no drilling. There's been no prospecting whatsoever. We cannot find any historic data on those two gold anomalies. So we think those are ripe, again, for discovery of new VMS systems.
Quinn, just two quick questions. We're just about out of time here. When might we see some assays, and also how well-funded are you? I guess you're well-funded to go through this year, but you think you're going to have to go back to the well next year, possibly?
Yes, look, we raised money, I think, in November or early December last year. We raised about $13 million, which brought our treasury at that time up to about $15 million. We have seen some warrants exercised. I would say we started the season this year a little over $14 million. We do have plans to spend most of that this season. We're being very aggressive, obviously, with 30,000 meters. But I think that, we will get some results out here that will wow the market. And I, mm-hmm, think that once we do have to go back and raise some funds, we should be in a position of strength.
Yeah.
I would like to see this company continue an aggressive approach. So next year, need to see another 30 to 40,000 meter program. There's no question we're onto a discovery here. It's a matter of making sure we have the horsepower to get, keep that momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as As far timing. As these go, timing, the labs are full. From what I can see, they're allocating a certain percentage of their capacity, lab capacity, to each company to try to keep everybody qualified. It's going to take a little while. Last year, we finished drilling, I think, October 16th, and we were able to put first news release out with assays around the week. I think it was the week before Christmas, if I remember.
Yeah, right.
Just a little over 2 months. I would expect the same here. We started drilling, with four rigs. It was, I think, early July. So what is it? September, maybe mid-September, call it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. But it really is an exciting story, and really, if we can put some numbers to some of that geology that you're talking about, I think it's going to get really exciting to people. So thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us, and we'll look to keep up with this story going forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.